Indeed, Heavenly Father, we worship you, the God of patience and consolation, watching over your word to perform it in our lives, watching until your truth is made manifest in our mortal flesh. We indeed give you glory and give you worship as we come to go into this word, this time of sharing the word. Father, we lift up our eyes to your throne. This is your word. It is not the word of a man. And so we ask for fresh mercy, a fresh unction under the covering of my fathers, from your throne, upon my heart and upon my lips, that you will make me a pure chalice. And let your word flow out of me, Lord, in purity, in humility, in simplicity, in power, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And let it do an internal, eternal work in our hearts, all of our hearts, including my own. Lord, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So that, Lord, we will change from one level of glory to another level of glory. Lord, we ask, Lord, that as your word goes forth, I ask for mercy. Mercy to help me to be faithful. Lord, to deliver this word as you would have me do it. Lord God, Lord, speaking as an oracle of God. Speaking your words and not my own. So that, Lord, this word, Lord, will raise us up to where you want us to be in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as your word goes forth, under the covering of our fathers, let blind eyes be open. Let strength come to our feet. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Help us to leap even higher into our destiny, so that Lord God, we'll be doers of the things that we learn, and not hearers only, and our lives will be a well-pleasing offering, Lord, that will bring you pleasure and bring you the savour of fulfillment and joy in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we go into the word, I ask, Lord, I duck under the covering of my fathers, Lord, so that you will help me to be faithful, Lord God, to follow after their example in heart, in word, and in deed, bringing glory to the name of Jesus and blessings to my brethren and to as many as hear this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for his presence in our midst. And is indeed yet again a great privilege for me to stand before you to bring the word of God this afternoon. And I thank God for our fathers. Amen. I want to give honor to whom honor is due. Their commitment unto death really is... It's inspiring, you know. It's humbling. It just makes you. And I understand that we have a long way to go as far as, you know, becoming like God is concerned. Amen. Even after the glory comes, we will still need to grow to become like God. Amen. More and more and more and more like Him. And I thank God for their life of consecration and intercession and love that is transforming us all together. Amen. So that as we all play our part, God will help us so that they will inherit the glory, and then we all under their covering will enter into it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. Amen. The word that I have this morning is very, I thank God for the Spirit of God, because the Spirit is one. It's similar to the word that Pastor Dewey brought this morning. Pastor Dewey was talking about the fact that we will not be ashamed. Amen. We will not be put to shame. You know, God is faithful because he will not allow us to suffer, to be tempted above what we are able to bear. You know, and it's the same thing. God will not allow us to be ashamed. Or you can put it this way, God will approve us worthy of the glory in Jesus' name. All right, so the title of of this message this morning is approving ourselves as sons of God. Approving ourselves. Jesus approved himself. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 verse 16, you know, that this is God spoke of him. Divine, we're talking about divine approval now. It's not human approval. It's divine approval. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, and you know, as it did that simultaneously, the heavens were open, we heard a voice, you know, things were happening. At the same time, as we speak now, God is approving his sons. Amen. He's putting a seal upon the foreheads of as many as sigh and cry. Amen. As many as desire to be like him, to behold his face, you know, to see him and see his will done on earth. You know, and God is encouraging us, you know, in this season to press in, you know, and not to allow whatever has defined our past, you know, your past mistakes, your past successes, you know, they're all in the past. Amen. And to put them behind us and now let God be our identity. No, let God be our reference point. Like Pastor was saying, you know, that message on Christmas, on New Year's Eve. You know, Pastor shared a small exhortation, but that exhortation to me was more, it was like the sermon. Because it had, the sermon was just an expounding, but that was the key principle, that we put God first, you know, and make God front and center, or let him be the center that holds everything together. Amen? And we will not be put to shame in Jesus' name. Or will be approved. So we see that in this season of quantum light, amen, quantum leap, that great light is coming. Share the scripture with us in Matthew chapter 4 verse 16. Let's go into the word quickly. Matthew 4 16. Let's read it together in the King James. Please read with me. Say, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. What did they see? And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. So God is saying that there is great light coming. What Pastor shared with us, light of a particular frequency. Not just intensity, frequency. That is going to rearrange and reconfigure, you know, our minds and our body. Amen. So that we now move from a valence band to a conduction band. Across a forbidding gap. Amen. In every area. Amen. All right. And that's a great word. And that's where, by the grace of God, I want to begin. We must be found faithful in how we use little light. So that when the great light comes, if you are faithful in little, you will be ruler over the great one. Amen. The work that the great one is intending to do, the great light is intended to accomplish, will only be done to the degree to which we are found faithful with the little light that we receive every time. Every time you hear the word, you know, every time, you know, you come to church, every time, you know, on Good Morning Jesus, you hear the scripture, every time you read your Bible, you know, what is the light accomplishing? How are you using that light? Bible says, take heed how you hear. But because with the measure you meet, more will be added. More will be added to us in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. And we saw, if you look at this scripture, and also if you look at Isaiah chapter 60, don't leave this scripture. Isaiah 60, just to see, you know, the Bible says, arise, shine. Amen. For our light is, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Amen. There are two things there. Our light is come. So the first thing is that the people saw great light. The light came from outside. So it was light of revelation that they received. It came from outside in, into their hearts. And then it shone through them from outside. He says that light is sprung up. He says, shine, for his glory is risen upon you. So the light is supposed to accomplish a work of purifying, a work of humility, a work of consecration, a work of circumcision. And it will accomplish in our lives in Jesus' name.
I'm sharing with you, I'm also looking at myself in light of the world. You know, no, God is not a respecter of persons. No, so the light is coming into all of us to accomplish a work, to illuminate and then to transform. Amen. Let's say it together. Light is coming to illuminate and then it's coming to transform. It's the transformation that makes you shine. You will all shine in Jesus' name. We will all shine. So the Bible says, the entrance of his word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. This is not a time to be simple, oh brethren. We must, and simple just means ignorant. You know, we must not be simple. Don't look at things, you know, the way they appear. Because it's not the way it appears that it really is. There's the father of lies that has conjured things up in a certain way. And as he's doing it in a certain way, he's dropping thoughts to give you a certain impression. So that what he is showing you and what he's telling you are synchronized. And they're outside the will of God. But God has come to set us free. Amen. And when that light comes into your heart, it changes the picture on the inside. So you have one picture on the inside and you have one experience on the outside. And they're not the same. I don't know how many of us are here. There is a light on the inside. And yet there's an experience on the outside that does not align with the light on the inside. But in this day, God's going to line it up. We will superimpose spiritual reality on physical reality in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And that's what God is doing. So that light must have come. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. Nothing is left out. God is going to work in us through and through. Amen. We're not dealing with men. We are dealing with God. And so, you know, we must now redefine who we are dealing with. You know, and deal with, the Bible says, all things are naked and open with him with whom we have to do. So we now allow that light to enter, because the natural inclination that we have is that when light comes, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. But that is being changed in this time in Jesus' name. Now we love light. Deliberately, we go towards the light. We are not going to die. When fear comes, we pick up the light on the inside. You know, like Pastor was preaching beautifully this morning, you stir up the gift. So that what is on the inside, you know, will link up with the Holy Spirit and he will change what's on the inside so that you and God are one, and then what's on the outside will change. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And, you know, so when light comes, Bible says, arise. When light comes, we wake up. When you wake up in the morning, you wake up, you get up, you clean up, and then you put on your clothes and then you go out. It's the same way. When you wake up and get up and begin to clean up, you are arising. When you put on your clothes, you shine. We are, the clothes we are talking about now is to put on the power of the Spirit without measure. Or the power of God in, first is with measure, then is without measure. So let's start with the measure. You know, it's with measure. The measure in your soul and in your body. You put on the armor of God. You put on, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. You put on righteousness. You put on. Bible says, put on the new man. So we put it on. It's like a suit. You put it on. Amen. You know, and when you put it on, then you step out and then you begin to shine. So this is the will of God for us. Amen. And we see in Acts chapter 12, in verse 1, we pray very quickly. I don't want to dwell too long here. Just follow me by the help of the Holy Spirit. Alright, so Acts chapter 12, in verse 1. Let's see this. And we see here, now, Bible says, let's read together. Now, about that time. What time? Manifestation of the Son of God. At that time. But now it's the same thing in this time. It's now a time of manifestation. It says, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. It's not the whole church. It was certain, the man-child. He wanted to vex the man-child in the church. You know, and just as he tried to do it, no, it's the same way. So he comes against you and I. No, with persecution and affliction. He wants to vex certain in the church. Amen? And we see, you know, as it comes against us, we see, look at verse 5. And we thank God, amen, that we can find ourselves in the scripture. Amen. Amen. How many people are in this? If you are a member of this house, let me see your hand. Thank God we can find ourselves in the word. Amen. What a great privilege. Look at verse 5. He laid hold on Peter. But you and I are like Peter. We are in a prison, a place of confinement. But God is going to set us out of it in Jesus' name. All right, look at it now. Say, Peter therefore was kept where? In prison. But prayer was made what? Without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Good morning, Jesus. Prayer is being made without ceasing. It's the foundation of our deliverance. It's the foundation of our escape. It's the foundation of our quantum leap. We must build on that foundation, but it must be there. It's not an optional. It is a, what they call in English, a sine qua non. It means that it's imperative. If not for this prayer, Peter, what we're saying today is not what we're we'll be saying. That's why the Bible puts it there. It says, but, that's why there's a but in your life. Amen. What Satan is doing, God has said, but. Amen. But I'm going to turn it around. Amen. But the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. But you'll be like them that dreamed when God will turn it around in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the will of God for us. Amen. All right. Look at verse 7. And so God sent a messenger to him. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Our fathers. Amen. The angel there just means sent one. The apostolic and prophetic messenger. Amen. And the light did what? Shine in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up quickly. Say, arise up. Arise up. I didn't hear that last word. Arise up. Brethren, must do everything we are doing now quickly. Quickly. And as he arose, what happened? The chains fell off his hands. Chains are falling off. As we pray every morning, chains are falling off. It's falling off. But you are still in prison. But the chains are falling off. You know, so there is some progress that we are making. Amen. But the real escape is about to come. Amen. That's what God is saying. So it's not as if nothing is happening. Stuff is happening on the inside. Amen. Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we see a treasure glowing and developing in our earthen vessel. Amen. But the escape is that God wants to change the vessel. So that the treasure that is inside will not be obscured by the vessel on the outside. But the treasure and the vessel will be of the same material. Hallelujah. So the treasure inside will shine outside. That's the will of God. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. That's why, brethren, we must believe. Tell your neighbor, we must believe. It starts with the prophetic word. You believe and accept it as a reality now. Not tomorrow. Not next tomorrow. As soon as the word comes out, we believe. Be it unto us according to your word in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And so, look at verse 8. So he put on his clothes, a type of the armor of love. It says, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. We know all that. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking there about the armor of love. All the items of the armor of love, you know, the 5 defensive items and the 2 offensive items. Well, we know that already, the girdle of truth, you know, which are all attitudes, really. The attitude of honesty and sincerity, you know, then this attitude of really humility, walking in peace, being able to walk in peace with people, not having offense and unforgiveness, you know, your feet shod, you know, they have an attitude of faith, which is the shield of faith. You have an attitude of hope, you know, at 3 levels, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of the manifestation of the glory of God, and the hope of the things in this life. And then, you know, you have the attitude, you know, of the breastplate of righteousness, attitude of righteousness, right standing, not in your own works, but in right standing, the work that Jesus has done for us. No, those 5 defensive levels. So when the enemy comes, it takes the brunt of the attack. And then with that, you now use the offensive weapons, which are the word of God and the praying in the spirit with all kinds of prayer. And those are the offensive weapons. And then you, so he's talking about putting on the armor of love. That's really what he's talking about there. So, and when you do that, verse 9 is where my punchline is. It says, and he went out. Let's read together. And he went out and followed him. Who was he following? The angel. So he follows said spirit all over sight. He's following the angel. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He was so used to being in prison. He had accepted being in prison. He was sleeping comfortably in prison. And until the angel came. And he was still so used. He was going out of the prison. But was wondering, is it a dream or is it true? The answer is, it's true. God is setting us free in Jesus' name. Those weights and sins that have beset us are not going to beset us again in Jesus' name. You will outgrow them. You will escape by the mercy and the grace of God. It's not our own well-doing. It's the faith and the mercy and grace of God. Amen. It's a promise that God has made. The Bible says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. It's by faith. It starts by faith. That's why you must believe the word. Even when you haven't experienced it yet, don't be hoping. Hoping is coming in the future. It will always be the future. Bring it into the present. Yes, I now have my quantum leap. So every time, I fight for every inch. I fight for every obedience. If I make a mistake, I confess my sins immediately. I repent. I reset my attitude and I try again. Because there's receipt and receipt and receipt. Amen. And if I don't pass the first time, I pass the receipt. Amen. Come and ask us. In medical school, the people that did receipt. My Pastor Larry and I saw one of our colleagues yesterday. You know. From way back, in medical school, and must remind us that we haven't seen you for a long time, and he said no, and we said I had a receipt. I said I couldn't even remember. You will forget every receipt. Every receipt. How many receipts did Joseph have? How many did he have? By the time he got to the joy of inheriting the glory and being prime minister, did the receipt matter? But the key is to make every step count. That's the key. Every step count. So that's why we must believe now. And so he was so used to the bondage that when God was doing the real thing, he was like, hey, am I dreaming? You're not dreaming. This is the real reality. This is, you are going to superimpose it on that one. That one is old. That one is not of God. This is the vision that God has given. And it's going to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we see that. So why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? It's a very simple, really simple message. Really to wake up in our minds. Because I found out that, God have mercy. You can know. Knowing is one thing. Doing is a totally different thing. It's a totally different thing. It takes the mercy and the grace of God. And God will help us do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So why? Number one, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Look at it. Let's read it together, brethren. This scripture will stand in our favor. It will not stand against us in Jesus' name. Amen. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now let's read it together. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be. Azuri spoke about two levels. And believe his prophet. So shall ye. Now day one is not talking about prosper financially. He's talking about prospering in the purpose of God. At that time, somebody came against them. Sennacherib came against them. So when they prospered, they were delivered from Sennacherib. There was nothing financial about it. God's going to deliver you in every area of confinement in Jesus' name. From every confinement. Amen. That's what he's talking about. So it's an all-encompassing deliverance. We have been saved. We have been saved. And we will yet be saved. Until it's complete. Amen. That's what Jesus died for. And so we must not be simple. When we are simple, God forbid, we will not be simple in Jesus' name. But when we are simple, we are prone to deception. Romans 16:18. You are prone to deception because Satan manipulates things, particularly in the earth. That's why the Bible says, we live by faith and not by. If you go by sight, you are in Satan's realm. He can manipulate, turned upside down and made to appear like it is not. And it will look very real. Bible says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the synagogue of Satan, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. How do they deceive the hearts of the simple? By good words and fair speeches. What is coming out of them is not of God. So they contaminate and pollute the people who keep listening to the words and forget that the Spirit is not of God. It's very important. That's why you have to discern. Every time you listen to a man of God, you have to ask, where is this coming from? Is this making me more like God? You know, or is this very important? Otherwise, you can be, if just look at it, but he mentioned Jesus' name. He said things that were in the Bible. He quoted scripture. Yes, Satan quoted scripture to Jesus. He quoted scripture to Jesus, but the Spirit was not of God. Amen. So that's what he's talking about there. So simplicity is we must not be simple. That means that we must have light. Because without light, without light, then we can be deceived because we're in darkness. You know? So, and because Satan is a god of lies, you know, many times he can conjure things and make things appear. You know, and that's not the will of God. The other thing is that being simple makes us slow to believe. It takes us a long time to believe. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were on the road. Let's look at it. Verse 13, yes. And behold, two of them witness. Means that there are stages we pass through in the body of Christ. At the point in time, you can be here. And the idea is to come out of it. Amen? Amen? That's the will of God. Amen? And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, 60 following. So they were going to Jerusalem. They were going in the right direction. Okay? Next verse. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But he didn't appear. There was no bright light. He wasn't transfigured. He appeared like a normal person. You know, Jesus is coming to our lives every day. Yes, even with some of those people that you call sandpaper, that you say, oh God, deliver me from this person. God sent them. They have been sent, and they drew and went with them. The light of the world was with them. And look at, let's go. We know the story, so we don't need to know. And they were talking about what was happening. And you know, let me just summarize the main part, so just to save time. And they were talking. So I was asking them, so what is the matter? I said, see you. And he was telling them all the high priest did, you know, and they killed this man, he was the prophet. And we thought he was the one that would deliver us from the Jews. Everything was physical. Everything was physical. Nothing, no revelation. No revelation. And we thought that he would be the one that would have delivered us. And then in verse 25, Jesus now responded. And then he said unto them, it's a rebuke. And God is speaking to us as men too can correct ourselves. He says, then he said unto them, let's read it together. It's not you in Jesus' name. Amen. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How many things have his prophets spoken to our ears? I'm talking about you and I here in this house. How much do you believe? To what degree do you believe? That's what he's talking about. Next verse. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Next verse. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Question is, why didn't they know this? If they didn't know everything, why didn't they know some of it? Or most of it? So this is the key. This is what God is talking about. You know how much of what you're hearing is really going in and is really working on the inside. It's really active. It's really, doing a work in our hearts. That's what he's talking about. Amen. You know, so that it will do it. Because, you know, it is the word that, like it says in Psalm 119, verse 130. Let's look at it, because I think it's a very important scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Small light, big light. Light. It giveth understanding unto thee. Simple. So what does light do? It changes your state from simple to believer. From simple to disciple. It does a work inside. So we must not, so it's so important that, you know, Bible reading, you know, daily Rema. You know, by the way, the weekly Rema is still going on. Lord have mercy on us. You know, while we're having daily Rema, there's weekly Rema. It's still going on. It has not stopped. There's Bible reading. It has not stopped. Would you think God is giving us too much of what we don't need? Do you think that these things are not necessary? That's why you do some and the rest. God, we have mercy in Jesus. I've said it and I'm repenting. I've repented and I'm repenting. But it's not like that too. It's not like that too. All those things are supposed to keep you and I spiritually alert, so that you are more used to what's going on in the spirit realm than in the physical realm. You are more aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm around you than in the physical realm. It is the word inside, it's the degree of the light, the frequency. It's frequency, not in the intensity. Oh, I did it. I sat and did a Bible study for 2 hours. Yes, I did that once in 6 months. It's the frequency. Frequency. Everybody say frequency. You know, Pastor taught us on it. There's different between intensity. I did physics small. Not like, but you know, I know there's different between frequency and intensity. Frequency is how often. You use the rope. You know, you do the rope like 10 times in 1 minute. A certain frequency you have. If you do it 5 times in 2 minutes, it's another frequency you have. The first frequency is higher than the second frequency because it's more frequent. So the question is the frequency. But we must, so we're going to step up our frequency in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what God is saying. Alright? And the end of, this is not our portion, but the end of simplicity is destruction. Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But we must have knowledge. No, not necessarily the knowledge, head knowledge, but revelation knowledge. Light that makes us see things, see what God is really saying to me as a person. You can hear a pastor from here talk about something generally. That's very important. But you can also, when you go back to God, God talks to you personally. Of what he said, personally. Very important. Not the same, okay? Second reason is urgency. Now we have to heed the call to sonship. There is a call to sonship. God is calling sons forth. He's calling you and I, and we are sons in Jesus' name. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. There's a call to sonship. Amen. But as he's calling us, he's also pointing out things in our lives by the light. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And marrying somebody who's not born again. That's the very low application of that word. He's talking about anything that is of unbelief. Whatever is not of faith. And it's step by step. You have to pick it out and find it out. So there are things in our lives. While we are fellowshipping in righteousness, there are things in our lives that are unrighteousness. Oh, fellowshipping with light. There were things in our light that are darkness. Let's go further down. Next verse. So what's he saying? He's saying, so what agreement? How can you be agreeing with me and agreeing with the world? In our minds. God says, give that money. My account will not be balanced over. I don't know how that, believe me for it. Where are you? I can't see you. I don't know how you do this. This is very important too. It's not a game. That's God that we are talking to. The God of all the earth. That gave you the little that you're talking about. The little that you want to hold on to. And he told you. Now, if God didn't give you an express instruction, it may be different. But if God told you, give me, and you are see, like he told Abraham, give me. May I remind you, sir? I'm sorry, I'm being respectful. May I remind you, sir, that this is the son that you promised me? I didn't say anything, I'm just reminding you. That's how we do sometimes. God said the only God, in fact, when God gave instruction, he didn't leave any room for doubt. That one that you love, that one, that's what I'm asking for. So we're talking about he says, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. This is more than anything God is going to give you. God makes you his son. That's it. Right there, sonship. It's a call to sonship. There's nothing worth it. That's what God is saying. Verse 17. Amen. Wherefore? I was talking to all of us. Let's scream it. Wherefore? Come out from among them and be ye. So you kill the foxes. There are little foxes there, but we kill the foxes. The Bible says, them that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. So we find out the foxes. You have to go door to door. It's door to door fighting, you know. You can do air supremacy. Good morning, Jesus. You can bombard the enemy with artillery, you know, by confession, and when you confess and you watch, even that has a certain frequency. But let's leave that. No, let's even say you do it. You know, no, but until you go door to door and find out who is in that house and change the occupant room by room, house by house, until the city of your life is totally occupied by God. The city of your home, totally occupied. Amen. That's what God is asking us to do. And that call to sonship, you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, you know, he says, the just shall live by his faith. And let me tell you, God is taking us from faith to faith. So you cannot be at your level of faith and then God be at his level of faith. God wants to take you and I from our level of faith to his level of faith. So your level of faith keeps changing. So you see things in the light of what he said. It's no longer how it appears. So somebody may truly have wronged you, but if God says, let it go, let it go. They can do it again. Leave that to God. Leave it to God. He said, so it's not a question of what is right and what is wrong. Now, what? It's not the facts. It's not the facts. It's now the question of the reality by faith. What I choose to believe. That's my reality. So I choose my reality. Yitunu said it beautifully. You know, he said, no, I can't remember, you know, but the exact phrase that she used. But you know, success or failure is a choice. At the very beginning is a choice. The situation has not changed. But at the beginning, what I say to myself is the key. It's a choice. So we keep choosing a higher standard. We keep choosing a higher level. We keep choosing a higher level. And then you get to a point where, you know, by the mercy and the grace of God, you know, in his light, you are seeing light. And that's the will of God for us in Jesus' name. So we grow. So you can put it this way. We grow in purity. We grow in humility. Because God's level of purity becomes our level of purity. God's level of humility becomes our level of humility. And the God that sees in secret will reward us openly like he did for Jesus Christ. Bible says, though he were a son, yet he counted not equality with God something to be grasped. That's one level. That's one level of reality. No, he left that one. Then, but being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Stop. Another level. Then he humbled himself even unto death. Then in verse 9, he now says, wherefore? Hallelujah. But you must give God a reason to say wherefore. That's what God is saying. Give me a reason to say wherefore. So that I can give you that quantum leap. And he's going to give us in Jesus' name.
Amen. You are behind time. Verse 9. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Now,
so how do we do this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 6. I beg your pardon. Verse 4 to 7. Let's read it together. This is our portion in Jesus' name. Approving ourselves as sons of God. Let's read it together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of,
you are minister of God, minister of reconciliation, you are minister of Jesus Christ, you are representative of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about, general. But I've been talking about ministers, but he's also talking about us as children of God. So approving ourselves as ministers of God in much, in and in necessities, in, next verse,
in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Verse 6. So we approve ourselves. How do we approve ourselves? In self-denial and in persecution and affliction. In suffering. Put it Hebrews 5:7. No, though he was son, yet learned he obedience. By the things that, verse 8, by the things that he suffered. The suffering is twofold. We suffer self-denial, watchings and fastings, and spending time in the Word. Then we suffer persecution, and after that we're talking about distress and tumults. They are part and parcel of the package. But guess what? They are only changing the quality of the vessel. So that the treasure inside will not manifest on the outside. It's a necessary pathway. It's a necessary pathway. You know, otherwise some things can happen. There's a water cycle. You know, there's an energy cycle. You know, there's a cycle. It's a pathway. And that's the pathway. So you can, there's no way, Bible says in the world you will have tribulation. So whether you like it or not, being on this side of heaven, we have tribulation. True or false? The key is the attitude which you go through it. How you go through it. That's the key now. Make it count, is what God is saying. Make it count. How do you make it count? How? The by now. By pureness. Purity of heart. That's the first thing. Purity of heart. Purity of motive. Purity in our relationship with God. And this, brethren, has to do with faith. I have to admit to myself some weeks ago, and even up till now, I'm learning it, because I found out that it's like my faith was suspended. I pray in the morning, make my confessions in the morning, pray during the day, but in between the times of prayer, my faith is zero. I am not watching. I am not forgiving. Not anywhere near the rate I should be. I am not judging as I ought to. So I am not doing as I ought to. And guess what? I don't know. And I am looking at, I prayed today. And I did that, and I did that, and I did that, and I did that. The question is, where is the fruit? That's the fruit. How do you know? Under pressure, what is inside will come out. Don't argue. Don't blame anybody. Just accept it. And then go back and work on it. Amen. And God will help us in Jesus' name. We're talking about purity of heart. No, so the first thing is that you must see the Lord set before you. You must see the reality of spiritual things. We have to operate by faith. We must see God, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Give it to me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. When I saw that scripture, brethren, there's a weekly rhema. Oh, I mean, there's so many, you know. But there's this one: praying and believing, believing and praying with your thoughts. You need to study that weekly rhema so that you can understand whether you are walking in faith in your thought life, because that's where majority of the battles are. Before it becomes circumstantial, you would have had several thought things that you would have been on an ascendancy. So when the situation comes in the physical, you just walk over it. But if you have not been winning in your thoughts, we will win in our thoughts in Jesus' name. Let's leave it like that. Hebrews 12, 24. You know, talking about, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. These are the things that are supposed to be seen. No, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Next verse. I beg your pardon. Give it to me. Maybe verse 22. Verse 22. Thank you. Yes. But you are come unto what? Mount Zion. It's a reality. It's not a song. We are Mount Zion. Amen. And unto the city of living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You want to travel. See the angels. Innumerable company, they can't be counted. So what's the problem? Pray and trust God. Amen. Next verse. Thank you. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. God is there. And the spirits of fathers, just made me perfect. So he's there. So Jesus is there. The fathers are there. God the Father is there. The blood is there. The life is there. The word is there. The angels are there. The Spirit of God is there. What's the problem? See it. That's what God is saying. Because when you see, Bible says, the blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No, you see it in your mind by faith. And the more you pray, seeing. Because you have to, Bible says, when you pray, pray believing. You must pray believing. When you pray and you are not believing, it's going contrary to the effect of the prayer. We must pray believing. Bible says, if you ask, you shall say, I will not doubt where? In his heart. Have to be believing. Active. Amen. So we see him. And then when you see him, from that place of seeing, you obey him. You please him in all situations and circumstances. And like, you know, this is not be our portion. Moses in Numbers 20:12. God, when God was rebuking him for striking the rock, notice that Moses struck the rock and water came out. So it's not the fact that everything still went well. It's not the fact that everything still went well. It's the question of what is the motive. That's the issue. With Moses knew better, and God had him on a higher standard. God said, because you didn't sanctify me, it means you saw me, you saw what they did, and what they did was more real to you than me. So you chose to say what you said and not do what I asked you to do. Because of that, you didn't enter. We will enter in Jesus' name. But it's just God put it there deliberately so that we can know that there are no favorites. You can't say, me and God were on a certain level. I have reached a level of grace that allows you to do that. It's not like that. If God didn't do it for Moses, he's not going to do it for you. Next thing, knowledge. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Knowledge, talking about revelation knowledge. We've spoken about that. Receiving the light of revelation. That's how the Bible says, how that's why it says, see, by pureness, by knowledge. Amen. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5-4. By knowledge, revelation insight. And that comes through listening to anointed prophets and apostles, developing prophets and apostles of God's word. So you receive that anointed word. And then when you read your Bible, in their light, you see light. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Give it to me in the Amplified. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 5, 2:15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. We're going to 2 Timothy. Right. Study and be eager and do your utmost, I beg your pardon, to present yourself to God approved. We're talking about approval. How do you present yourself approved? Tested by. You didn't say it now. It's as if it's a bad word. Tested by. It's the devil bringing the trial, but you have overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. A workman, work. No, who has no cause to be ashamed. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So you must, first of all, when you analyze the word for yourself, that in your own life, then it's easier for you to analyze it outside. It's inside first before outside. Amen? So that's what he's talking about. Okay? So correctly analyze your motive. Let the word search out your motive. Let the word discern accurately so you can correct it. Amen? Number three, we are back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, now verse 5. Lord have mercy. 6:5. Give it to me in the King James. Thank you. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 to 7. 4, 5, 6. But in all things, yes, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost there, you know, is in relationship. So everything you're doing is in relationship with the Holy Spirit in your heart, okay? But he's talking about by revelation right now, by long-suffering, kindness, talking about love. Love is the goal of everything we're doing in all we do. So love determines our impact. If you look at 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, if you speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, you are, it says, it profited you. No, it says you're a tinkling cymbal. Yes, that's what it says. It says that we're a tinkling cymbal. So what is he saying? He's saying that we know the impact you have is zero. If no, in the second part of it, it's talking about using, and it says that if you don't have, if you do all those nothing. So it means that love is our identity. For that, we'll be somebody, amen. Not the faith, not the miracles that move. Amen? It's very important. So, love is the key. Love determines our impact. Love describes our identity. And love is the measure of our reward. It's the measure of our reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, you see right there. Love is three things. Determines your impact, describes your identity, is the measure of your reward. So, really, love is everything that we're doing. Everything must be in love. That's why it says, by love unfeigned. It's telling you, by love unfeigned. That's how you do it. No? Next verse. And then, last one. By the power of God. Verse 7. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. By the word of truth, by the power of God. Amen? By the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Okay, so what is it? What is he's talking here about the fact that, you know, we've spoken about the word before, but he's talking about the word of truth. That's why today that in worship we're talking about, you know, the God of truth. God is the God of truth. His word is truth. That truth is building us up. No, that's the whole that is building you up to have an inheritance. So that truth is important. So you must invest time in the truth. Amen. God will help us do that in Jesus' name. And then finally, by the power of God, corporate prayer early every morning is the foundation of our deliverance. It was what Peter had that kept him out, that took him out of prison. It was what Peter, it's the foundation of the deliverance. So it's not everything, it's just a foundation. You now have to add to that individual praying with travail to build on that foundation. Amen. Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. Now, we've dealt with knock, because knocking is walking in love. That's how you knock and enter into the quantum leap that God has for you. You knock on the door. But before you get to the door, you must ask in the place of prayer. Good morning, Jesus is a foundation. And then, of course, we have areas of our lives that Pastor has said we must be servicing, our family, our work, you know, our children, you know, apart from the home, you know, and different areas of our lives. 7 of them, that's not the focus of this, but that's where you're praying to make sure that you are asking. Amen. And then we're seeking where we watch and pray. We watch for his presence, watch our hearts. We pray frequently. At least 5 to 6 times daily. And the idea is to generate sufficient power for door-to-door fighting. It's from the watching and praying that you generate the power to see that this thought is a negative thought, I repent. To but I saw that I didn't do anything about it. If you've not prayed enough, you know, just like Elisha's arrows, 2 Kings chapter 13, where the man of God put his hand upon, he said, stretch out the arrow, put his hand on it. Then the man of God put his hand upon it, and Lord said, the arrow of God's deliverance. That's good morning, Jesus. Then he now told him, at the end I said, okay, take the arrows. Now smite the ground. And he smote only 3 times. Frequency. He said, I was very cross with him. I smite the ground. You didn't tell me how many times to smite the ground. But you, why did you do it more time? Should have done it more. But then there's frequency. Frequency is important. So he said, you should have done it 5 or 6 times. Now, you see what you have done. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we the frequency of watching and praying, acknowledge God for mercy. Ask him, to help you. And then let God help us, as we pray frequently, repent. And that brings us to an example, really. One good example is Obed-Edom, the Bible. Obed-Edom was doing what he was supposed to be doing quietly. David was trying to bring back the ark, and there was something that happened that was negative. And then they said, park the ark in Obed-Edom's house. If it was you, Obed-Edom, somebody died touching it. Want to park where? I beg. My house is, my compound is very small. Sorry. There is no space. It's very small. It's a very holy house. You can park. Why don't the king put it in his own house? Why is it? Okay, let's leave it in the bush. Why should you park? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why should you park it in my house? Perfect love casts out fear. They parked in his house. Instead of the quantum presence of the ark, was a blessing to Obed-Edom. And then David's mighty men were going into the land, and we're going to, is by occupying David and his mighty men. Our fathers are a type of David, and we are the mighty men. Say, I'm a mighty man. They were mighty. If you look at Second Samuel, I don't have time for it because of time. Second Samuel 23. If you see what happened of the Holy Spirit, David recollecting, he was recollecting it. It hadn't just happened. It had happened before. When they were outside, before they entered the land, David said he wanted a drink of water. It was not an instruction. It was a desire. Just like David himself picked God's desire that he would have a house. God didn't instruct. And God said, I didn't give an instruction. Brethren, when you walk on your heart and I walk on my heart, we get to a place where God's desires become our desires. And we can download desire. Those men, David didn't ask anybody. Just said, I wish I could have a drink from the waters of Jerusalem. By that time, it was still in the hands of the Philistines. Three of them went through, risked their lives, and it's a type of the power of the Spirit without measure. The powers of the ages to come. And when David collected, he said, I can't drink this. You hazarded your lives for God, not for man, and poured it away. But in this season, we are going to go break through the rank. Amen. And bring back that water. Amen. And let the water be a blessing to the entire church. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads to pray. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Approving ourselves. Let's talk to God. Don't condemn yourself. It's not about condemnation at all. It's about faith. Lift up your head. The mistake is not the reality. Thy word is truth. That's the truth. The truth is not the fact. The truth is the word. So we keep working and trying until we bring the truth into manifestation. Talk to God. Ask him to help you. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. My redemption draweth nigh. Say to him,
This is my season of quantum leap. I'm not waiting passively. I'm waiting actively. And let's pray. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you. When I find the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this new year 2020, this season and year of quantum leaps that has come upon me. I recognize it is a season to be awake. It is a season to get up. It is a season to dress up. So Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to believe the word of your prophets and the word of your instruction, so that I will prosper in the purpose of manifesting your glory. Help me, Lord, to prepare myself, to put on my beautiful garments, to remove from my neck every bond of captivity, so that as your light comes to me, I will shine with your glory. I will escape from every confinement in my life, and I will walk through the gates into my destiny. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for help that will see me through under the covering of my Father's. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rala katansea, jefre ke ko banga, raba katantos tebo sheke de babadi kaka leve bere kuna, ma pa 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 kante kes, reba babo, melelebe pa pa kante kasa, leko no madu koko leve bere koko leve bere kaka, bombe koko leve batata, wase ba katu ta kako bege koko leve bere koko da, ma pa 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 kaya ya, reno mo ma pa 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 beleva, reba bebe pa 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 kante masoto, sheke leve bere koko leve pa 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 yenae, melele babu ya, rolele ba ba ba. In Jesus' name.
Father, indeed, we thank you, Lord, for
your word of admonition, Lord, your prophetic word, Lord, concerning the times and seasons which we are in now, what we as Israel ought to do. Thank you, Lord, for granting us grace and mercy to wholeheartedly pursue, Lord, a transmission from where we are into your perfect love. We might demonstrate you to a nation. We thank you, Lord, for the power. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles. But, Lord, we desire you. We desire you. Love in our hearts. Love in our thoughts. Love in every action. Love in every deed, Lord God. That truly, O God, the world may see you as you are in us through your perfected love in this day of showing. We thank you, Lord, for the graciousness you have shown unto us to bring us this word of direction, this word in season. Let it now be a performance, Lord God, by your mercy, by your grace, by your help, as we follow our fathers into perfect love. In Jesus' name. Let's share the grace as we close. As we honor the covenant of our Father, say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Under the covenant of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. We say, may the Lord bless and keep us whole. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life. And it shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ and the manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, anoint us with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tamer, you perfect divine love. And so you demonstrate God to this nation and this world. In Jesus' name.